Chapter 7.
You ladies are not invited to the catering event at the Kingsleys, Lexi whispered as they left the Kingsleys' house. Oh, now come on, Lexi. You could use some extra help, couldn't you?
Ruth looked at her with innocent eyes. Yes, but somehow I don't think you guys would be much help.
Now, we'll deal with that when it comes, Nan said as they proceeded slowly down the street toward Lexi's car.
Ida skirted the edge of the Pendletons' property, her hawk-like gaze scouring every inch, looking for her drone. Over at the gazebo, Rupert glared at them, tracking their every move. The neighborhood was quiet, with no traffic, except one Prius that drove slowly past them. The heads of the four senior citizens swiveling toward the Pendletons' property reminded Lexi of Nan's and the ladies.
"Did you guys see anything in the pond?" Lexi asked.
Ruth shook her head.
"It's as murky as the coffee they have in the senior center. We may have to go in."
Lexi slid her eyes over to Ruth.
"Go in?"
"Yeah. You remember when we took those scuba diving lessons last year? I still have my wetsuit, and so does Ida."
"Well, we have to do that at night,"
Helen gestured toward Rupert.
"Hawkeye over there isn't going to let us just jump into his pond if he catches us."
"I'm afraid his alarm system would warn him if we ventured onto the property."
Nance pointed to the four dogs, who were now racing across the yard toward them. Apparently, they didn't like the way Ida was rummaging in the hedges at the edge of the property.
"Woof! Yep! Grrr!
Hey, you mangy mutt, let go!"
Lexi looked through the thick shrubbery to see Ida in a pitched battle with the black peekaboo, who had the corner of her purse in his mouth. Ida was holding the handle, pulling back, while the small dog used his back legs to dig into the ground.
"Come on, Ida, you can't beat a little 7-pound dog," Nance asked. "I told you, you needed to hit the gym more."
Rip. The dog ripped a piece of shiny patent leather from the corner of Ida's purse, and Ida fell back on her butt. The dogs ran off victoriously toward the patio.
"Dagnabbit, I just got this purse at Talbot's."
Ida's face turned sour as she inspected the bottom of the purse. Then her eyes flicked out to watch the dogs as they ran to the outdoor kitchen, presumably to hide their new treasure.
"Looks like you got an excuse to get another new purse," Lexi said as Ida stood and brushed off the back of her tan polyester stretch pants before elbowing her way out of the hedge.
"Yeah, but this one's got all nice compartments in it."
Ida opened the purse to show her, and Lexi noticed it was filled to the brim with various household objects, lipstick, and even another scone wrapped in a napkin.
"Forget about that," Ruth pointed in the direction of the dogs. "We may have just found one of their hiding spots."
Ida squinted in the direction Ruth was pointing.
"You think they hid the drone under that big freezer?"
"I don't know if it would fit," Nan said.
"Maybe they have more than one hiding place," Lexi suggested. "I know Sprinkles has places all over the yard."
"I know what we'll do," Ida said. "We'll come back, and I'll bring the controller. Maybe that drone has some life left in it, and if I try to fly it, we'll see something move somewhere. It might just be wedged under something. Then we can run right in and grab it."
"Good idea," Ruth said.
"Maybe later tonight, when it's a little darker and Rupert can't see us so good. There's no fence around the perimeter, so we can run right in and grab it if we need to." We'll have to bring some dog treats to distract those dogs, Ida said. They're biters.
Helen shot Ida a look.
Those sweet little things. I think they'd sooner cuddle you to death than bite you.
Ida held up her purse.
Really? Look what they did to my purse.
Never mind your purse, Nan said as they came to a stop next to Lexi's car. Let's go over what we learned from Kingsley.
Well, we learned that Olive and Rupert were pretty chummy with the sister.
Maybe that's who Rupert's having the affair with, Ruth said.
But we don't know that it's Rupert having the affair. It could be Olive,
Helen pointed out.
No, I don't think so. Kingsley didn't see any men coming over, Nan said. Maybe she was discreet about it, Ida suggested.
We'll have to keep that as a possibility until we know more, Lexi said. Helen's eyes flicked over toward the Jensens.
Maybe Mrs. Jensen has more information.
Lexi thought she saw someone watching out one of the windows, but couldn't be sure if it was just a reflection.
We definitely need to put her on our list of people to talk to.
But not tonight, Nan said. It's supper time, and we don't want to disturb her.
Plus, I think our visit will be a lot better received if we bring some pastries from Lexi's bakery.
Good idea, Ida said.
We can pretend we're bringing sample pastries to all the neighbors on account of the Kingsley's party. You know, Lexi could pretend she's trying to drum up more business.
Hey, maybe she even really will get more business, Ruth said.
Maybe.
Nan's opened the passenger door of Lexi's car and flipped the seat up for Ruth, Ida, and Helen to contort themselves into the tiny back seat.
One other thing we found out from Kingsley is that Olive didn't need the money from her books. If what Kingsley said is true, they were living off of Olive's inheritance.
Which gives Rupert an even bigger reason to pretend that she's alive. He wouldn't get any of that money if she were dead.
Helen ducked her head, stuck her left leg into the car, and folded her body up as she slid into the back seat.
And with the new book coming out, the royalties will go straight to their bank account.
Ruth followed Helen into the back seat.
But what about the sister?
Ida asked, pausing at the car door.
If they were close, the sister would notice Olive was missing.
Not if the sister was in on it with him, Nan said.
Good thinking, Ida said. Which means tomorrow we need to take a trip out and talk to Olive's sister.
Lexi dropped the ladies off at the retirement center, where they rushed in and hurried to catch that night's bingo game. She had texted Jack about dinner earlier in the day, and they'd settled on Chinese food, which she picked up on the way home. Jack pulled in just as she was wrestling the takeout bag out of the back seat of her car.
I'll get that.
He grabbed the handles of the bag and placed a kiss on the top of her head, sliding his free arm around her as they walked up to the front door. Sprinkles erupted in a chorus of barking as soon as Lexi slipped her key into the lock.
Hey, girl.
Lexi bent down to pet the dog as she wiggled and shimmied in front of them.
I'll set out the plates. I'm starving.
Jack headed toward the kitchen. Sprinkles, smelling the Chinese food, immediately abandoned Lexi to follow him. Lexi wasn't far behind and pulled the cardboard containers out of the bag while Jack got plates out of the cabinets. Soon, the aroma of sweet and sour chicken, beef teriyaki, and jumbo fried shrimp filled the small kitchen. They loaded their plates and settled at the small kitchen table, with Sprinkles on the floor between them, eagerly looking up for a handout. Lexi cut off a little piece of broccoli that didn't have any sauce on it and handed it to the dog, who seemed oblivious that she was getting the least desirable piece of food.
"So, what trouble did you guys get yourself into today?"
Jack asked over the piece of teriyaki. "We didn't get into any trouble." Lexi poured some duck sauce on her rice. "Well, Nans and the ladies might have. They insisted on accompanying me to the consultation I had with Caspian Kingsley about the brunch I'm catering for him, and they almost fell into the Pendleton's pond."
"Uh-huh."
Jack dipped his teriyaki into the puddle of sauce on his plate.
"What were they doing near the pond?"
"I'm pretty sure you could make a good guess."
"Looking for a body?"
"Spot on. But they didn't find one. It's too murky." Lexi chewed sweet and sour chicken thoughtfully, then ventured a question to Jack. "Did you find out anything more?"
"No calls have come in, so, as far as the police are concerned, there was no murder. But I did manage to take a little detour when I was out on a call, and I scoped out the backyard. I did see a big stain on the cement, just like you said."
Jack sighed.
"Unfortunately, I can't get out there to test it to see if it's blood."
"But you do think it is," Lexi said eagerly.
"Of course, based on what you told me. The trick is trying to prove it or find some kind of evidence that gives us probable cause to go in there."
"I found out a little bit of information on the Pendletons from Caspian Kingsley," Lexi said. Jack's left brow quirked up.
"Really? I'll tell you what I found out if you tell me what you found out."
"You found something out?" Lexi's heart warmed at the fact that Jack was investigating the case, even though it wasn't official police business. Their relationship had really progressed. Once he would have scoffed at her. Now he took what she said more seriously and was helping out even though he could get in trouble at work. Jack nodded.
"You first, though."
Lexi relayed the information Kingsley had told them about Olive's sister and the inheritance. She reiterated their suspicions that Rupert wanted Olive out of the way because he was having an affair, but he didn't want to lose out on her money, so he'd hidden the body somewhere. Since Olive is known to be reclusive at times, it's not hard for him to pretend she's just hiding away in her home office, writing, Lexi said.
"That's what I was thinking, too. I did some more digging because I figured the motive probably has something to do with money. Olive did inherit a lot. Unfortunately, I can't look into their bank accounts or other finances without a warrant, which I won't be able to get. I was able to determine that their mortgage is current and there's no foreclosure. But there were a couple of late payments and some dings in the collections database. Looks like they have, or had, money trouble."
"But don't they have a lot of money if Olive inherited a bundle?"
"I'm not sure about that. But even a bundle can be spent pretty quickly."
"But if that money is gone, then why kill her?"
"Well, you did mention something about him having an affair, right? We both know that's the other reason most murders occur."
"Yeah. We were thinking maybe it's the sister because they are close. And I think she would have said something by now if she'd lost contact with Olive." Something niggled at Lexi's brain, something that Kingsley had said. "Kingsley said he saw another woman over there that he thought was either the maid or Olive's assistant."
"That's right," Jack said. "The little research I was able to do did come up with an assistant."
Jack scrunched up his face and thought.
"I think her name was Connie?"
"Yeah, that's right, Connie Davis. I'm not sure about a maid. Doesn't seem like they could afford one." "Connie Davis, huh? Never heard of her." Lexi filed the name away for future use. She'd have Nans and the gang do some research on this Connie Davis. Maybe she was the one Rupert was having the affair with? If not, maybe she would know something about the affair, or at least could be questioned about what was going on with Rupert and Olive. She could be a goldmine of information if she was Olive's assistant. They just had to approach her the right way. Lexi reached across the table and put her hand on top of Jack's. Thanks for having faith in me and helping us out. I know you're taking a risk at your job, so I really appreciate it.
No problem, Cupcake. I'm happy to help you. And besides, if there was a murder in town, I want to solve it even if there isn't any official evidence right now.
Yeah, well, I just hope we can solve it.
Don't worry. Either you, Nans, and the ladies will break the case, or some evidence will come to light. Something's bound to break soon. Because you can't hide a body for very long. Sooner or later, they always turn up.